Blog Talk Radio.
Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger. Diane has been given message from the fifth dimension and higher to bring greater peace and understanding to the lives of others. She lives and experiences these higher dimensions to help our world come into balance and to raise to a higher vibration of love. You can find more information on Diane on Facebook at www.facebook.com/dbachberger1 as she shares great wisdom with the world. Let's welcome your host of Fifth Dimensional Living, Diane Bachberger.
Hello, everyone. This is Diane Bachberger, and thank you for listening in on Fifth Dimensional Living. What propels a civilization into the next step? Join me over the next hour as I take you into the fifth dimension and beyond. So today is November the 7th, 2012, and it's 11:01 a.m. We have the show every week on Wednesday at 11 a.m. So if you're just new to listening to this, it's a live show, and it goes on once a week at the time I just said. And what we do in fifth dimensional living, we talk about the inner journey and the shift that's happening with humanity. And fifth dimensional consciousness is heart consciousness. And it's an expansion and more free-flowing type of consciousness than three-dimensional consciousness, the consciousness that humanity has been mainly in over the last few eons. And, that inner work is something that we do at Earth Angels Radio, and Fifth Dimensional Living is one of the radio shows on the Earth Angel Radio Network. I just want to let you know, too, we're simultaneously broadcasting on Impact Player Music Nation, so please go to www.ipmnation.com. And if you're in the chat room, I wrote it on the chat, so the links, and also the link for Earth Angels Radio. And on that link, as you scroll down, there's also a place on earthangelsradio.com for donations. And right now we're expanding, and we greatly appreciate anything that you can, hand our way to help you go on that inner journey. So when I woke up this morning, you know, there had been a lot of heavy energy last week and a lot of energy released by humanity. And I talked about it on last week's show. So please go to the archives for last week's show, Wednesday, 11 a.m. And I, you know, over the last few days, I've been feeling, especially last night and this morning, feeling kind of a weight lifted off. And I was getting the words singularity and zero point. And I know they have something to do with, the convergence of time and space and those different things. So I'm getting messages to talk a little bit about that. So I will be talking about that today. And I had to take a journey this morning to go back to the astral planes to get something left behind. You know, a lot of the gateways were shut to the astral planes. And yesterday, they were opened for kind of a brief time. So a lot was going on with that. And I won't get into that too much, but, you know, when we take things back and missing parts of ourselves, it's sort of like a convergence too. And, you know, sometimes when I get words or messages, sometimes they're reversed. So this morning I was getting zero point, but then I realized it was really what I was really seeing was kind of like a mirror image or hearing that. So it's really the word is point zero. Just want to let you know that there was a big, you know, energy shift last week, and there was a lot of places hit with that energy, including, you know, the East Coast of the United States, but also India got hit pretty bad too. And apparently a big cyclone hit there last Wednesday, and there was the 50,000 people homeless, and some people got hit with, you know, that energy. So, and then the Queen Charlotte Islands, before the cyclone hit in New York City, that, you know, that Hurricane Sandy, there was, you know, this earthquake 7.7 in the Queen Charlotte Islands, and it may have sent a tsunami to Hawaii, but that didn't happen. So there was a lot of energy just being released last week. But I want to tell people that 2012 is a year of God consciousness, man shifting to God consciousness. And man, or humanity, I should say, has made a collective for God consciousness just recently. And that's happened since all this energy was released last week. And like I've talked about on the show many times, 2011 was the year that we shifted ourselves into seeing the magical ability we have and key into our, you know, manifesting talents and the magic that we really have here. So, you know, there was a lot going on, and I really was seeing duality with this election that was going on in the States. And, you know, there was kind of a flip-flop back and forth, and the energy wasn't very stable. But after about 12 o'clock last night, there was a big shift in the energy, and there was more stabilization of energy. And Obama apparently, well, did win the election. And so, you know, it's to see whether things change. And the way things change is to change ourselves within. So what we're manifesting on the outside of ourselves is something we created. So what we've experienced here and what we are experiencing here, you know, we've helped create it. So if we want to change things here, we have to go within ourselves. And I was talking about that on Facebook wall with a friend that I have, a very creative person, and is feeling the call to slow down, and he's feeling depression. And I said, well, this is the time that we go within and we have those feelings and actually feel them and go deeper. And humanity let off a lot of energy last week. And this energy in itself isn't bad, but when it's released suddenly, it can affect things around us. So it's really important right now to go within, to look at things and release them gently so we don't affect things in a negative way around us. And a couple of days ago, I saw a chinchilla. And apparently chinchillas are something that indicate to you that there is some balance that's not right in your life. And I was seeing that for humanity. And kind of like the balance was really sent, you know, I was going to say into orbit, but it was like lopsided. And today there seems to be a lot better trying to balance that energy. And right now, humanity has to do this on their own, do the balancing on their own. They were given a little bit of help and given extra energy to be able to do it. But, you know, people were going through that turbulent time last week, and there was a lot of anger released. And it's something that humanity really has to look at for themselves right now. And, you know, this morning I had a bath, and I was, after I looked at the bath, I was seeing something floating in the tub. And then I got the idea I should grab a cup, and because it kept floating and moving around, that I should put this cup over this object and pull it down to where the spiral spins when the water drains out of the tub. And when there's something going over it and pulling it down, it drains out really fast. And it got me thinking about, you know, the spiral of life and how we're at that final turn on the spiral of life. And everything's kind of pulling together. And it's happening, you know, many, many things are happening in a shorter space of time now. And we can see that, you know, inventions are happening and the way we see things and the way our thoughts are changing and the consciousness is shifting. So basically, near the bottom, it's like a cup pulling something down and pulling all the energy together and helping it go to that point. So if you have any questions about that and what I'm talking about, anything that I talk about today, please call 646-200-4169. And this is a live show. And, you know, if you go back in the archives, of course, it won't be live. But the number again is 646-200-4169. And so I was seeing that swirl, and I've been seeing it in dreams. I've been seeing it around me. And everything kind of getting sucked together. And it's important right now that we don't have blocked energy, because if the energy is blocked, then things can't flow together, right? I mean, they will and they do, but they don't do it as fast. So humanity's let off a lot of that energy. So that's why, you know, things will be happening even faster now. And October 23rd was the magical day that this really acceleration in time and space is really starting to get underway. I wanted to talk a little bit here about something also from Animal Speak, and it's a book that I have from, you know, Ted Andrews, and I use the book quite frequently, and I just dropped something, so let me pick it up. I got to go and see. Oh yeah. You know, I've been talking about how animals are extensions of us, and, you know, we're extensions of God. We're all interrelated, and this is like the spiral in its own way. But also, you know, what we think and what we put inside of us affects what we have around us. And on page 64, it talks about rocky terrain, you know, the environment. And rocky terrain can reflect many possibilities, all colored by the totem and the activity within the area. Rocks have been depicted in story and myth as obstacles that need to be climbed over. And I'm kind of seeing that. There can be obstacles, and we have to go within. And they're often symbols for the true self. So, you know, a lot of people use crystals and do healing energy, but actually they mean, you know, things that we can actually step over to look at the true self. So there's different rocks and stones have different meanings, each with its own unique qualities. And rocky terrains, especially high upon mountains, were often considered the dwelling of place of God and goddesses because they were so inaccessible. And I see man as climbing. And I've been having climbing dreams and other types of dreams. And I talked about, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, about what, you know, those things mean. So if you want to find out a little bit more about it, listen to the last two or three shows, and you'll get a better handle on what I'm talking about. And on the other hand, though they can reflect solidness, stability, and sturdiness, they can also be a point from which we can gain a new perspective. So many people can't resist standing or climbing rocks to gain a view of the surrounding terrain. So, you know, something about rocks and something about height, you know, allow us to see beyond what we see. But, you know, as we get into that final curve of the spiral, we're at the top part right now, so we're able to be more perceptive and see things. And so this is a real time for humanity, a real time to be more perceptive, to go on that inner journey, to expand themselves and go into that God consciousness. This is a time, you know, 2012, and there's, you know, a bit of time left, and many people are changing and many people are shifting. I've heard that, you know, a lot more people are listening to YouTube videos of certain friends of mine that talk about all this stuff. There's like a mass consciousness awakening. And a lot more people are listening into this show, you know, on especially certain occasions they're going back and listening to it or being drawn to this information because they're getting that perspective now. Many people can't resist, as I said before, you know, climbing to get that view, that perspective. And Earth Angels radio shows give that perspective. in learning animal speak, you know, referring to the book, we begin by looking at the animals, but we do not stop there. If we truly want to understand how divine is expressing itself to us through nature, we should also examine the environment in which the totem is discovered, along with its natural habitat. Is it different from where it was encountered? In the course of life, you may encounter a range of habitats, climates, and animals. All of these will be saying something to you. Ask yourself the following questions. Will this help you in developing your ability to understand what this nature is telling you through the animal world? And, you know, this will help you develop an extension to this animal speak. So what are the characteristics and qualities of the animal totem? Is it migratory or endemic to the area? What is its natural habitat and what does it indicate? What is the symbolic nature of the habitat which you encounter your totem? What is the climate condition which it appeared? Where does it usually season? So there's a lot of different aspects to look at beyond just seeing that animal, you know, going beyond in the environment. And what do we project outside of ourselves? This animal being is part of us, an extension of ourselves, but also we're creating an environment around us, especially when we go into fifth dimensional consciousness. You know, dream time and sleep time are alike, and what we put outside of ourselves is a reflection of what's going on inside of ourselves. So what is this environment and animal saying to you about you and your life? So I just want to, you know, I do talk about animals a lot. Maybe I don't focus on the environment as much, you know, as I should, or there shouldn't be any shoulds, but there's also a time for everything, and it's time for me to talk about that. So, you know, that's why I'm talking about it today. And, you know, let's accept truth, even when it surprises us and alters our views. Like sometimes when we see things and we go beyond ourselves, it's a little scary, so a lot of people jump back, you know. And some of the things that I talk about can be, you know, beyond your scope or beyond the box that you've experienced. But I'm just saying to people, like, give yourself faith. Give that part of yourself an extension. Look beyond yourself because it is part of your reality. And, you know, if you're listening to this show and you're hearing these things, this is something you also put into your reality. And it's time, you know, to go beyond what you've been experiencing in 3D consciousness, to go into fifth dimensional consciousness. So, you know, we're here to be friends to each other. We're here to try to understand why things are happening around us. And sometimes people aren't always nice to us. But that is because there's something about ourselves we have to look at. And if we get mad and direct that energy outwards, we're not really learning from that, but it is good to feel those emotions and express them. So if you suddenly have somebody who seems to be turning against you and seems to be expressing things, don't look at it as, oh shit, you know, pardon my language, this is awful, this is you know, something that I don't like. But, you know, it's really there for you to look at and go within yourself. So, you know, you may be feeling sad. You may be feeling depressed. You may feel that, you know, what's happening to me? It is part of the inner you that's shifting, and it's telling you to go within and take a look and release that energy and, you know, see yourself and see the way you think. Is the way you think really positive for yourself? Are those thoughts that are flowing through your mind or that voice chatter really helping you? So I just, you know, want to just make you aware of that. And there's supposed to be a solar eclipse on November the 13th, 2012. And this solar eclipse is going to be one of great magnitude, and it's reflecting something about humanity that's being hidden, and it will be revealed. So anything that happens on the outside of us is what's happening on the inside of us. So there's something we have to look at after this November 13th, 14th eclipse. And I have a link to it, so I can put that on the chat. And just maybe see what people, if anybody has any questions Everybody looks like they have a nice smile on their face, so I guess that means that you don't have any questions. Let's just see if I have any callers. Nope. So it's just, lately I've been having a lot of people just listening because they're really curious about what's going on right now. And, you know, I talked about the word singularity. And, you know, singularity, what does that mean to you? Like, a lot of people hear these words, they think, oh, is that Star Trek, The Next Generation? You know, is that a physics term? It has many definitions, but it is a word that is pertinent to now because it came to me today. It's not a word that's unfamiliar to me, but it may be unfamiliar to people that, you know, haven't been involved in science fiction or, you know, just haven't even, you know, thought about looking up what the word means. Anyway, one of the definitions, it's a noun, and it designates the quality of being of one of a kind, strange, unique, remarkable, or unusual. So it's a pretty amazing word. So we're all basically very unique, remarkable. We're all parts of that greater part, that wholeness, that oneness that we call, you know, the creation, the creator, God, or source, or whatever you want to call that energy, or whomever you want to call that energy. Anyway, it says, here that it's a state of being singular, distinct, particular, uncommon, or unusual. And it's a point where all parallel lines meet. And so this, in a way, singularity, is like convergence, where all time and space meet. It is the creation. So, you know, there's a lot of words that seem separate but are really coming together and mean similar things. It's a point where measured variable reaches an immeasurable or infinite valve. In the mathematics, the value or range of values of function which a derivative does not exist. In physics, the point of region and space-time in which gravitational forces cause matter to have an infinite density. And it says it's associated with black holes. And I'm not sure if anyone is familiar with black holes. They're just, you know, the stars that have burst and imploded. And, you know, that's a whole other thing. So it says here what we're most interesting, however, is the definition of singularity as a technical phenomenon. And, well, that's what they're describing it as. So, let me see what it says right here. It goes into all these different books and different things. The singularity is near. So anyway, singularity is something unique, something unusual, something that is something from creation. So anyway, I will point this out, and I will put it on the chat room. There are many places you can look at this information up, but I wanted to kind of explain it in as easy terms as I could for people, because right now there's so much going on, and it, you know what? It's not letting me post it, so that's kind of strange. I'll try it again. Oh, well. For sometimes things don't allow me to post them on the chat, so I will, you know, read something else here. And I was talking about point zero. And point zero, we have a little, Terence McKenna's time wave zero. And, you know, I've got this as a post too. But, I will go afterwards and put it on the underneath the comments on this show. There's another odd pointer to the 2012 date. And, this person that wrote this article is, he's talking about Terence McKenna, the person that formulated this time wave zero. He calls him a psychedelic shaman, Terence McKenna's time wave theory. In the theory, the year 2012 is called time wave zero. So we're in this time wave, and I've talked about being in that final curve of, you know, the spiral of life. It's when everything, time and space converge to one point, and that's the point of the original creation. And McKenna took the I Ching, and did some kind of mathematical fractional operation with it and proposed a computer program which supposedly produces a time wave which maps out something called novelty across the scale of time from the Big Bang to the ending of time. And guess what? That mapping of time mysteriously ends at 2012, the omega point. So, you know, we're nearing the end of 2012. A lot of people, you know, see that and they look, oh my gosh, you know what, everything's going to end. But it's a time where we just go back to what we really are, you know, light beings and creator beings ourselves. You know, we're beyond this physical body in 3D consciousness. I've talked about how there was a fallen consciousness and we became more physical on many of the shows. And this is just an opportunity time for us to see beyond that and become aware who we really are. And, you know, that's the shift in consciousness that we talk about in fifth dimensional consciousness, just seeing beyond that and shifting the way we see things and working from the heart, that heart point which the creative energy comes from. And then he goes on to say, I found out about the time wave zero because I'd been interested in McKenna's work for some time. He was primarily an expert on psychedelic substances, especially as a religious sacrament and used by shamans throughout history. And, you know, shamans have used those things, you know, drugs, to actually take themselves out of this 3D consciousness into other types of consciousness. But many of us don't need drugs to do that. We see beyond this reality. And, you know, Carol talks about that at the beginning of the show, how I see beyond this reality and go into different types of dimensional realities and, you know, come back. Or I experience them right here, right now. And I'm in... humanity are multidimensional beings, and they experience, you know, these things, but they're just not aware of it because of the 3D blocking a lot of things. So when I was talking about that piece of, you know, floaty thing, and it was just flying all over the place, on the outside of the top of something, when something is on the top of something or the outside of something, or say the outer end of the spiral, it's just, you know, kind of floating there. But when you take it and you pull it down and you get near the end of the spiral, it goes to one point and it goes through one point. And, you know, that's why I was talking about that earlier. Anyway, he recounts, like Ginsberg and Burroughs before him, memorable journeys to the Amazon region in search of the mystic brew called Yag, used by the shamans there as an entrance to the other world beyond our ordinary consciousness. He was also a heroic taker of an expert on the explosive beyond LSD drug called DMT or dimethyltryptamine. His accounts of his trips using that are really amazing to read, and he seriously believed that this particular drug enabled telepathic contact to occur with extraterrestrial intelligence, or, you know, I guess connecting with that higher energy that we all are really connected to, but we have had the illusion of not being connected to. You know, you don't need drugs, basically, what I'm saying, to connect to this, because I do it all the time. And many other people have, but I guess at one point it was difficult for people to be able to do that. But humanity really has that in them to be able to do that. Anyway, he goes about transforming yourself. He felt like this opened it up. So for him, it did do that. And this person goes on to say, I really don't understand the time wave scheme or the mathematics at all. It seems very complicated. But I thought I should check out some links today and present them to anyone who is interested in investigating this type of linking of the ancient I Ching and the very modern computers and fractals. You know, so something about the I Ching and computers and putting them all together makes us see a pattern, basically what he's saying. And, you know, so he doesn't really understand it, so it's hard for him to explain it. So... anyway, it just, he goes on to say that the same date pointed by the Mayan calendar. But actually, you know, ascension of the Earth happened in 2005, and we just have the illusion of not having this happen, but it really has happened, according to many people and those who see beyond this dimension. We just have to open ourselves up to this. And so many people, when they do open themselves up to it, will see what's going on. So it's not the fact that it's difficult to understand. It's the fact that there's been a blindfold put over us or humanity and haven't been able to see this. So this time and space thing, he's talking about the time wave. And then he goes on to talk about the time wave from what the I Ching in the article called derivation of the time wave from the King Wen sequence of hexagrams, which you look at here. So he's just putting all these different patterns together and making a big pattern and seeing that in 2012, this is when we have that, you know, zero or that point zero when everything converges together. And many people, when they're having visions and stuff now, are seeing that happening. And, you know, but humanity are magical beings. They can see beyond this, and we can shift what we have on the outside of ourselves and really put what we want here. We just have to be able to see that part of ourselves and see that connection to Source and go beyond that. So, you know, I don't really want to get into it because I go too far into it because I don't want to confuse people. And, you know, but right now a lot is going on. Humanity's releasing a lot of energy. And it's a time of great change. And right now a time of great healing. And point zero or 0 point is you know, is what's happening right now. I wanted to talk a little bit about something else that's on another topic line. You know, I've talked about the crystalline children, what they mean, and the indigo children, and, you know, dolphin energy over the last little while. And there's an article, The Psychic Children, Dolphins, DNA, and the Planetary Grid at www.psychicchildren.com.uk/1-6grammachandra.html. So this is a story on the Psychic Children link. And, you know, I've talked about the blue rays too, and you know, the many different types of DNA shifts that have happened to the children that are being born right now. So Grandma Chandra, I'm going to read this. She's an, and when this article was written, I can't see when it was written, but anyway, it's probably written in the, it looks like towards the end of the late 90s or the early 2000s. When this person saw Chandra, she was 19 years old, multiple handicapped and mute psychic young woman from America. She was recognized as a great master back in 1998 on the day after the autumn equinox. A chief standing elk of the Lakota Sioux tribe got a knock at this door that changed his life forever. Here it is in his own words. There was this beautiful lady standing outside the door and said, "Hello, my name is Kat." And then she asked me, "Do you know somebody by the name of Standing Elk?" And I said, "Yes, I'm Standing Elk." And she said, "My daughter wants to know the Standing Elk and who you are because you kept her up all night playing a flute and singing, making her dance. She came to find out who he is." And I asked, "Is she with you?" And she said, "Yes." I asked her to bring her in, and a few minutes she entered the house with a beautiful young woman. She carried her into the living room, placed her gently on the couch where she sat, so innocent and beautiful, and she began looking around and feeling the spirit and the atmosphere, the energy around her. And then she said via telepathy, "I want to talk to Standing Elk." And, you know, I communicate telepathically to these children, these crystalline children, these children that have this amazing ability. And, you know, to other beings and animals and all sorts of things. So, you know, this Standing Elk was able to read her telepathically. And then you know, Standing Elk said, I know you are my grandmother. She said, yes, yes, yes. She said, I want to know about the universe and the spiritual laws of the Creator. And I told her, you already know them. She said, yes, yes, yes. Then she asked me, why am I like this? I cannot do anything in my body, but my mind is perfect. Why? Why? What is my purpose here? I told her, you are here to teach the universal and spiritual laws of Creator. The reason you are the way you are is because of the effect you have on mankind. We are the ones that fail to communicate with the children. We don't have time for the children with the problems that you have physically. Instead, we stick them in hospitals and institutions and let them wither away. We need to help the people understand that we can communicate now. Thanks to the efforts of your mother, Kat, she has opened the doors for the parents to learn the gift of sacred communication with their children. She said, yes, yes, yes. They can continue communicating telepathically, and she named herself Screaming Eagle, and she was also awarded with a renowned position as their nation's pipe carrier of peace. She chose the name because when the eagle screams, it tells the truth. So, you know, I talk so much about what animals mean. So, you know, they speak truth. So if you see an eagle, it speaks truth. So she is telepathically communicating to people that can communicate with her the truth. So, Chandra has also retained all the knowledge from her past lives and is able to communicate with dolphins, whales, and ETs. She even told the audience at the conference that she was not human, but a 12th dimensional ET. So, right now, at this time, a lot of the ETs, you know, and many other types of beings, and even the ancient ones, as I am, have come here to communicate and to help humanity. And, you know, we're just here to help with this shift. So an example of the wisdom from Chandra appeared in one of James Tywin's emails in January of last year. And I just have to share what she said. The psychic indigo children are portals or gateways that have spread peace throughout the earth. They are in different areas to open the earth's grids for the ascended masters to come through and bring peace consciousness to the planet. And many of these children that cannot speak, and the diamond children, many of them aren't speaking right now. They are these gifted ones that are going to help humanity open up this consciousness. So we are here to help humanity. But humanity has to come into this and open themselves up to it. So these children have special vision and have had contact to come to Earth at this time. And there is a belief in the tremendous battle between the light and dark forces now. And those who are aligned with peace will follow the children. There will be a great ascension to the light by the people of the Earth, as well as a planetary ascension to the next level of consciousness. And that's what's going on right now. So we do have these shows on Earth Angels Radio to let people know that this is happening. So what we are experiencing here is just an illusion we have created because we have refused to rip away the veils to see what is real. And so this is what this, Standing Elk has said. So, you know, there's some amazing things on this site. And on different shows, I will talk about different things. And, the Crystal Children, which this girl is one of, the indigos have, mashed down the old systems. They have opened up the gateways to this new generation. They opened up the pathways for the crystals to come. So the generation following the indigos, I have two children that are indigos, and they're very, very psychic, and they push energy, and they're incredible. But, you know, the energy has been difficult at times for them. But right now, because these gateways have opened up from the higher realms that do exist here, because things are multidimensional, they're all over each other, and those things are opening up. The indigos are having an easier time right now. But getting back to these crystal children, a lot of them have delayed speech patterns, and it's not uncommon for them to wait until they're 3 or 4 years old to begin speaking. And I just want to mention that Einstein didn't speak till he was 4 years old, so he was actually keyed into this energy too. However, parents tell me they have no trouble communicating with their silent children. Far from it. And I have a little boy that lives next door that he's a diamond child. And, you know, that is a some of the crystal children that came in a certain period, and they're all 3 years old right now, up until, I believe it is, into the new year. They're all 3 years old. And starting in March, they're going to start turning 4 years old. So these parents that have these children, you know, they might have thought there was something wrong with kids and took them in and got them checked. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just the way they're set up. Their DNA is different. They're connected to multi-dimensions. They have memories. They're retaining their memories of their past lives. But they're just not talking about it right now. They're waiting for humanity to open up to this. The parents engage to mind-to-mind communication with the crystal children even before birth. And a lot of, you know, the parents were chosen for these children very, you know, a lot of them are indigos or, you know, really loving, beautiful people because these children need a lot of care. And, you know, the ones especially that are in wheelchairs and aren't able to access their physical bodies, but their minds are clear and open. So they use a combination of telepathy and self-fashioned sign language and sounds, including song, to get their point across. And the two diamond children that I really have access to, they do that. You know, they like to hear noise and sounds, and they use it, especially when they feel energy opening up and shifting. You know, I am sort of crystal, but I can communicate and I translate from higher realms, multi-level realms. But, you know, people are seeing them as dysfunctional. They're not dysfunctional. They're just a different type of consciousness. And when we see beyond that, we see and we open ourselves up and we shift what we feel inside, then they will be different to us. You know, I see them that way, but a lot of humanity sees them as dysfunctional and in wheelchairs. But we really have to see beyond that. So a lot of the indigos got labeled with ADD and ADHD, and the crystals are labeled autistic. Is it just a coincidence that autism is at a record high right now? An autistic person appears, lives in their own world, and are disconnected from other people. They do not talk because they're indifferent about communicating with others. But this isn't true. About the crystal children, they're quite the opposite. They seem to be very caring and compassionate and continue the traits of the blue rays by showing signs of ability to heal others. So if you're around one of these crystal children, especially the ones that are, you know, don't seem like they're communicating, they're healing. They're opening you up to what is going on and the truth. Just like, you know, what Standing Elk said to the child, you are opening us up to this. So in her previous book on children, The Care and Feeding of Indigo Children, I guess it's Doreen Virtue they're talking about, she wrote that ADHD would stand for attention dialed into higher dimension. This would more accurately describe that generation. In the same vein, crystal children don't warrant a label of autism. They aren't autistic. They're awe, autistic. They're awesome. So these children are worthy of awe, not labels of dysfunction. If everyone is dysfunctional, it's a system that aren't accommodating the continued evolution of the human species and these children. If we shame the children with labels and medicate them into submission, we will have determined, you know, undermined a heaven-sent gift. We will crush the civilization before it has time to take roots. So it's showing a shift in consciousness, but these children are opening us up to this consciousness. And, you know, I see myself as part of that blue ray, but like an overview of all of them, all of those children. So I see them all as my children. And, you know, the ancient ones do have that energy. And, you know, they were created before humanity was created. That's the only difference, really. And energetically, they have more DNA. But these children also do, too. And, you know, they're being born with 12 strands of DNA, which are expanding to 144 strands. And the diamond children and children being born now have 144 strands of DNA. And that's what humanity is expanding to. And that's what You know, God consciousness, awareness, perception, connection to source, and existing in the moment, and, you know, feeling that joy, what we were created to feel. So, you know, it goes on to say in this article, last statement is more profound than we probably intended. These children could be the new root race that is shaping up on planet Earth. They could be the new prototype of the human race, and are the ones who, when we are the ones giving birth to them, both Gordon Michael Scallion and Edgar Cayce predicted that the fifth root race would appear around the time of the late 20th century. And that's a whole other show when I'm going to talk about this fifth root race. So if anybody has any questions at all, can you please call 646-200-4169? Someone says in the chat room here, I can communicate with my granddaughter telepathically. She is a crystal and loves dolphins and mermaids. Yeah, a lot of these children are connected to that consciousness too. You know, I was writing on Facebook today that, you know, the dolphins, you know, they're swimming in the water, enjoying the moment, and, you know, they're expanded. They're living in higher consciousness, and humanity thinks they're superior. Well, it doesn't, you know, humanity are manifestors, and they're creating things around them, but are they really creating things that are good for them? You know, like with all the pollution and things that are going on. Once humanity becomes more aware and sees what really has meaning, then, you know, living in the moment and enjoying things, enjoying and being that creation, that's what we all want to look for right now. Yeah, it does look like somebody's called in, actually a few people, and the number is 484. Fifth Dimensional Living, Diane Buckberger speaking.
Hi, this is the first time I actually found your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was calling in. I mean, I don't know a lot about your show because I'm just tuning in. But I wanted to ask you, you know, your advice or your opinions about sort of like what's going on with myself, because I don't even know what abilities or what is transpiring in my own life as far as, you know, odd things happening.
So you're kind of getting messages around you in your environment that are speaking to you. Is that what you're feeling?
Well, what happens is when I dream, I wake up in the dream, and I remember the dream, and the dream is like, it happened, because, like, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I was there. And the dream is so real, like the dream I had a couple weeks ago, and this didn't happen yet, but a man that I used to date recently, and we're not really dating or talking or anything right at the moment, but I go into a furniture store where he's employed at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a professional store, and they all, you know, have their uniforms on that they wear. And I see him, and I see his coworker who's African American, and I see another coworker who is a large, heavier set man. So I see these men perfectly. It's them. And I go in to make my payment on my furniture, and this man that I used to date comes running up and just passionately kisses me, and the other two coworkers just stand there in the back like, oh, wow. So I'm trying to figure out.
So your dreams are more vivid, and you're more aware of your dreams right now.
Right, and I woke up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
That means that you're shifting consciousness. You're actually in fifth-dimensional consciousness.
Why did I have that dream? I mean, is this man going to do this? Is this man thinking this? Or,
well, you know, dreams often don't actually mean exactly what they present themselves. I'm getting a message that this energy that you've experienced with him has been, you know, like what they call like a twin flame energy.
Okay.
And a lot of times, when you balance your masculine, feminine energy and you have this around you, it doesn't necessarily mean the relationship is going to stay in your life, but it awakens you.
And I think that's what the kiss meant, that you were being awakened to a higher consciousness.
Okay.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
Sort of, kind of, because I don't know if this man is going to be re-entering the picture and, you know, deciding, you know what, you're the one for me, or...
It may or may not, but, you know, only you, you know, can, you know, manifest that and decide, was the relationship good for you? What was it worthwhile? Or maybe there's a part of you that...
And then
just looking
other,
at it and releasing
right.
it.
Well, then the other thing that happens to me, and this comes
uh-huh.
true as well, I'm in a deep sleep. I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I wake up, and I actually see my phone. Not like I don't look at my phone, but I see my phone before I wake up, and I
mm-hmm.
see that there's a text message from this man. I wake up like at 2:30 in the morning. I go into the other room where my phone is plugged in. There's
is this
a text
a
message from him.
Dream?
No, and it wasn't really like a dream. It was like
a vision.
I was sound asleep, and something told me while I was sleeping, go check your phone. And I actually seen his name with the text message. I got up at 2:30 in the morning, checked the phone, there was the text message.
Well, you're having visions, and you're seeing things that, you know, sometimes we have dreams that are kind of prophesizing or
okay.
showing us that something's going to happen, prophetic dreams. It does
right.
happen.
Right, and then there was another incident. I was not sleeping. I was wide awake, and I was actually on my computer, and I seen two different scenes that came across like a television screen. One was this man with a moving box in front of his stomach, and he was in his bedroom. I didn't
uh-huh.
see him put anything in the moving box, but he had the moving box. Then the second vision, it flashed like a TV screen in front of my eyes.
Uh-huh.
The second vision was he has his truck, and he's moving a large mattress. And he's taking it to a storage unit. And then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden after that, after he put the mattress in, I felt like the Empire State Building went right down on my chest, hit my heart chakra, and I said, oh, he's really going to be coming here. He's going to be moving here. He's going to be coming here. And I went into like a total anxiety. And that
yeah.
was at the end of September. So what does that mean?
Well, the fact that it hit you in the chest,
okay.
It's been a kind of an opening of your heart chakra.
Okay.
And that happens in fifth dimensional consciousness when the upper heart
okay.
chakra opens.
Okay.
So you're having visions and dreams about you're shifting.
Okay.
Excuse me, Fred, I have to cough.
Well, I just don't know if this man is going to be, like, moving in with me or what is it telling me?
Well, Don't live in fear. Don't live in... Just let things
okay.
kind of go. And
okay.
ask that you be given the message about what is going to transpire and if it means anything. And the answers will come to you. And they may be shown in things around you, like you were seeing visions on the screen.
Uh-huh.
It's just that you've opened something up in yourself. You've expanded your consciousness. And now, you know, you're feeling it in your outer environment. And we have a lot of ability to open these things up in ourselves and put things in our lives that
right.
we want, okay? But
okay.
I think a lot of these, you know, when you're seeing, when you're shifting consciousness, there's a lot of emotion released. There's, like,
mm-hmm.
Extreme emotions felt.
Right.
There's a
right.
lot
right.
given off. And you're feeling that right now. But the thing to do is to not live in that kind of fear mode, is to just let it kind of go and saying this, you know, things will flow with me the way they should.
Right,
know, like,
and then after I had that dream, I felt
mm-hmm.
like I had to clear some space in my bedroom, like to make room for his clothing, to make room for his TV, even though we didn't even discuss him moving in, even though we're not even dating at the moment. But something, like, made me
well, you're,
scurry.
Well, you're opening up
like,
for something. You know, there's,
okay.
it's for yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, dreams don't always mean what they represent, or they actually what you're seeing a lot of the
mm-hmm.
time. You know, there's kind of symbolism in them. So
okay.
you're opening yourself up for this to happen, for you to shift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to come back in your life. It could
okay.
mean it, but it don't count on it.
Right.
Unless you really, you know, open yourself up and say, you know, if this is meant to be, just let it happen.
Right, and that's what I've been doing. And another thing is I can also pick up on his smell.
Mm-hmm.
That's the latest thing. I mean, like, I'll go to blow my nose, and on my hand, because I used to hold his hand a lot, I go to blow my nose, and I can smell his smell on my hand.
Yeah, be careful that, you know, sometimes people use our energy. And they're,
okay.
you know, if you do see them and stuff like that, just kind of keep yourself separate.
Okay.
Because,
you
know.
I do see him once a week when I go to make my furniture payment, and he is on my Facebook page, and he does
mm-hmm.
he does keep an eye on my Facebook page, because there's been times where I'll say, I might message him once in a while, and I'll say, listen, I was at a funeral, and I'm really having a hard time, and he'll say, I know. I already know. So that kind of makes me feel like he's been kind of keeping an eye on my
yeah.
Facebook page.
But I'm getting a message that you should just kind of let it go and
okay.
not focus on that, and focus on yourself. Do the
right.
inner work within yourself.
Right.
I'm just looking at the time now. I should really go, because I have to kind of end off the show.
Okay.
So just look at, you know, you're being given messages. They may or may not be prophetic.
Okay.
So, you know, there's things that they mean beyond that. You know, boxes are things that we put around ourselves, and he's taking the box away. So that could represent that you're taking that box away from yourself, and you're opening yourself up, okay?
Okay.
And the fact that you're moving stuff around you means that you're making room for that part of yourself, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, like, Look at it beyond that box of what we think, and relationships and stuff like that, okay? Anyway,
okay.
I should get going, and you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, okay, I just have a few minutes left here, and I wanted to talk about being a good friend. You know, sometimes people are in around us in life to teach us lessons and things like that, and we should learn from them and release it if the friendship doesn't continue, but to try to look at the good points about it. And there's this thing about how to be a good friend, www.wikihow.com, be a good friend. And there's steps to be a good friend. Be real, be honest, be loyal, be respectful, share. Watch out for your friend. Pitch in during times of crisis. Give thoughtful advice when asked, but don't insist that your friend does as you say. We don't project ourselves onto other people in fifth-dimensional consciousness. Listen. And you don't have to agree. Just listen to what's being said and make sure to stop talking for a moment. Listen. You know, step back and give your friend space if they, you know, are moving themselves away from you, like the lady was just talking. You know, she doesn't have that person in her life right now, and, you know, they may not be the right person for you, or just been in your life for a little while to show you something. So, you know, do that, and don't be selfish, and be forgiving when things go wrong in your friendship. You know, live by the golden rule. Always treat a friend as you want to be treated, you know, those sorts of things. Seek to deepen your friendship over time. Be trustworthy and go beyond the call of duty when you can. You know, this is a time of great energy release for humanity, and they're opening up the solar plexus and going to God consciousness. And, you know, look at the things around you. What is being reflected to you? What is your heart speaking to you? It means a lot more than we think it does, things that are happening around us. So anyway, I will meet you back here next week, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, for Fifth Dimensional Living. Much love and take care.
Thank you for listening to Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger, bringing awareness
to our world of greater love. For more information on Diane, please visit www.facebook.com/dbachberger1. May your hearts and minds always be open to experiencing a greater world.